You can read a lot of internet. You can read the news, and you can know about politics and everything. But you cannot smell how the country smells. Every country that I go, I wrote in my notebook their smells, their first smells.
Herzlich willkommen zu Hansa Rauschen, dem Literaturpodcast des Hansa Verlages. Mein Name ist Florian Kessler. Hier sprechen alle zwei Wochen Lektorinnen und Lektoren mit Menschen aus der Welt der Bücher, mit Schreibenden und Lesenden, mit Leuten von anderen Verlagen und aus dem Haus. Es geht um alles, was in Bücher passt und außenrum passiert. Und das ist wirklich nicht wenig. Herzlich willkommen zu Hansa Rauschen, bei dem diesmal die mexikanische Autorin Aura Chilonen zu Gast ist. Deren erster Roman erschien im Original, als die 1995 geborene Chilonen erst 19 Jahre alt war. Und ist ein unglaubliches Feuerwerk von Kunstsprache, Zitaten, Kauderwelsch und Imitationen. Die Geschichte eines Migranten jenseits der Grenze zu den USA, der schon allein durch sein Sprechen und Denken alle gegenwärtigen und zukünftigen Mauern durchbricht. 2019 wurde der Roman dann auf Deutsch bei Hansa publiziert, unter dem Titel Gringo Champ, und zwar in der wahrhaft kongenialen Übersetzung für dieses eigentlich vielleicht fast unübersetzbare Buch von Susanne Lange, die neben vielen anderen gepriesenen Übertragungen etwa 2008 den Don Quixote neu übersetzt hat. Über die Arbeit mit Chilonen hat Susanne Lange berichtet, dass sie bei der Suche nach den angemessenen Worten über 140 Mails mit Fragen an Chilonen richtete. Darüber und über vieles andere spricht jetzt unser Lektor für internationale Literatur, Piero Salabé, mit Aura Chilonen. Er hat sie im Dezember hier im Verlag getroffen, nachdem sie ein halbes Jahr lang Writer in Residence in Zürich war. Inzwischen ist sie wieder zurück in Mexiko. Viel Spaß.
Bueno. Hello, Aura. It's so nice to be with you.
Thank you so much.
Peter. And Aura, we are so happy to have you here in Germany. You come from Mexico.
Yes.
You have just published this year a very successful book called in German Gringo Champ.
Yeah.
And in English it has another title. What was the title in English?
It's Campeón Gabacho.
Campeón Gabachos.
Yeah.
Very good. And this title was published in the States a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And you published this book when you were very, very young. How old were you when you published this book?
I was 19 years old when the book...
My God, my God. And how come that you arrived to write at such a very young age, such a big and interesting book?
Yeah, well, I think when I was a child, I came to Germany for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
But we stay here, and because we weren't at school, we have work in our house, but it was things for kids. So
I see.
Like cook once at the week or learn German a little. And also the other work was to write 1,000 words in letters for my Mexican family. So it became like an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I get back to Mexico, it was more like a hobby, and I really love to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I start to write since 6 years old, 7 years old. And that's how in Mexico I took classes or lessons for writing. And then the book starts because in one of my classes they told me that if I wanted to improve, I needed to write from a men perspective.
Oh.
And they told the men who were in the class that if they wanted to improve, they needed to write from a woman perspective.
Okay.
So that's how the book began. I start to write a short story about this
immigrant.
Young immigrant, because he's 17 or 19. He doesn't know. He's like a lot of kids of Mexico who doesn't have name and doesn't have age.
Yes.
So that's how it begins. And then it transformed in this whole a full story, a very big story.
Very big story, yes. And yeah, we were so impressed by the language,
yes,
of your book, which is full of energy, full of fantasy,
yeah,
creativity. Was this language in yourself, or was, yeah, it... How did you discover this potentiality of, yeah, language?
Well, when I was in high school, I realized that because the social media, we lost our culture and language,
yes,
our words who make us Mexicans.
So you think that social media impoverishes language?
I saw that when I was reading, I didn't know if I was reading an Argentina text,
yes,
or a Mexican text or a Spanish text, because I think social media, for everybody starts to write at the same way. So the words were
flat. Okay.
Yeah, and the words were the same.
Okay.
And because I live with my grandmother, I know that Mexicans' grandmothers and grandfathers has this language who is so humoristic and also very vulgar language, but,
yes,
also with a lot of fun inside,
yes,
the,
yes,
language.
Yes.
And I was thinking how the new children or the,
mm-hmm,
new... Yeah, the new Mexico.
Yes, yes.
They couldn't understand this language because they have a lot of words that are very, very funny words. And I wanted to give my main character, Liborio, that,
mm-hmm,
language. So, because we don't need to forget our, how do you say, raíces?
Our roots,
yes,
our roots, your heritage.
Yeah, exactly.
So you were saying before that Liborio is kind of an anonymous young person,
yeah,
going into a foreign country,
yeah,
and he brings with himself rage,
yes,
power, energy, and this is reflected in this totally individual language.
Yeah.
So is there a relationship?
Yeah, it is, because Liborio is also a street boy.
Yes.
He didn't have our privilege,
mm-hmm,
like have a book in your hands or go to the school or have friends or family or love. So he is like a person who knows that the war is bad, but also he thinks that... everybody wants to aprovecharse de él.
To spoil you, to, yes,
to
exploit
use
you,
him.
Exploit,
yeah, exactly,
him. Yes.
So he thinks that's because he didn't grow up in a...
He's still a teenager.
Yeah,
yes,
he's still a teenager, but also he grew up in the misery,
okay,
and in the poorest situation, like a lot of children of Mexico grow right now. So that's why he has this language, and because he's very, very intelligent person, the words that he...
Say in Spanish.
Que está cachando,
mm-hmm,
día con día, que,
mm-hmm, he,
escucha.
Yes.
Yeah, the words he listens.
The words he listens
every...
Sort of, yes,
day,
yeah,
he took them and he used it like he thinks, but it doesn't mean that is the correct use from the word.
Oh,
so that's why he creates this language, because he thinks that the context could give you the word.
Mm,
so
it's very interesting.
Yeah, and yeah,
it's very good. So we feel. I mean, the protagonist of your book ends up being a boxer,
yeah,
ends up being a champion, using his physical force,
yeah,
in order to resist or to struggle in a world which is also difficult and,
yeah,
not particularly friendly to him.
Yeah.
And the same time, he has this force of language.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a relationship,
yeah,
between the two.
Course.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a like this metaphoric, situation between the box and the language. And because Livorio is so physical, he's always in fights and street fights and everything. But also the language, he spoke without... in Spanish we say, sin pelos en la lengua. So he spoke...
Very directly.
Exactly. But he doesn't care about it because he's so physical, and also the, his language is physical. And I wanted to create this this nice thing that in Mexico, if we talk about box, we think that that is the sport of the poorest.
Poor people,
Because it's so easy to get in a ring for a few pesos, and the childs who are there, they in clandestine rings, they doesn't know that they are fighting with the death, because a bat punched could be mortal.
Oh,
so so they don't know that, and but it's I think that they wanted to in that time it's more important to then have money for survive or eat for for surviving this life. So we think that if we talk about boxers, there is no relation between being a boxer and also read a lot of books and have this intellectual, big intellectual. So I wanted to do that relation there because we
to combine
it. Yeah, because a good boxer could be also a good lecturer, and I love from to literature. So, and Livorio is one of that persons because we are used to prejuzgar.
To have prejudices about boxers or
about
simple
any
people.
Person.
That's I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, one wonderful thing is that, as you were saying, a language is creativity, is creation, but it is also heritage. You bring along the border a whole treasure of words, of ancient words. So many words in your book are not really dialect, but they are ancient. How how did those words, how have you found them?
Well, I think right now we are living in this time that everything can be in your hands. So I remember that I spent a lot of hours looking for synonyms and antonyms.
Antonyms and synonyms.
And also I ask my grandmothers a lot of words, and also I ask my moms a lot of words because she is a
teacher
of Greek and Latin.
Oh
so
God.
She has everything in her mind.
Vocabulary.
She's like a dictionary. So that's how I start to look to search all these words, but also in the streets when I hear some word with these women who live in the in el campo
on the fields
on the fields
peasants,
I ask them what does it mean, and I put it in my notebook, and that's how the language start. But also I wanted to verbalize concepts and so I remember that I could words and I add prefijos, sufijos.
Prefixes and suffixes, and so you create your own language, which is the wonderful thing of a book. I mean,
But also it's because I wanted to the book had this evolution and starts with this, like. If the lecture, the reading, were in a ring, and with Livorio, so I wanted to the book starts in this way, like a punch in the face of the reading,
of the reader,
and then it evolves to because Livorio starts to read a lot, so the language, the vulgarity also can become a poetic thing, so. Livorio add all these poetics concepts and words to his language, and I wanted to to the book had this evolution.
Would you just please read the first sentence of the book, please?
Okay.
In Spanish. Yes. And then we'll read it in Germany.
Okay.
German.
Y entonces se me ocurre, mientras los camejanes persiguen a la chivata hermosa para bulearla y chiflarle cosas sucias, que yo puedo alcanzar otra vida al putearme a todos esos fucking meridianos. Al fin, nací muerto y no tengo ni pizca de miedo.
Thank you. I will read this just in German. Und dadurch fährt es mich, als die Mickerficker der schönen Chica nachsteigen, im Disturb-Modus und ihr dreckig ins Ohr sülzen. Ich kann mich in ein anderes Leben hangeln, wenn ich diese fucking Meridianer trashe. Bin schließlich tot auf die Welt gekommen und habe kein Fünkchen Schiss. I'm just repeating it because I had some error. Und dadurch fährt es mich, als die Mickerficker der schönen Chica nachsteigen im Disturb-Modus und ihr dreckig ins Ohr sülzen. Ich kann mich in ein anderes Leben hangeln, wenn ich diese fucking Meridianer trashe. Bin schließlich tot auf die Welt gekommen und habe kein Fünkchen Schiss. So that's a very, very strong beginning for a book. And there are some words like Kamehanes,
Kamehanes,
which was translated into German.
Mickerficker.
With, you know, Mickerficker. Yes. So also the translator had to invent something very special. So how does that, how have you invented that word? Where does it come from?
Kamehan, it's a funny story because when I was a child, they were this program in TV who calls Dragon Ball Z. They have this strong power who is Kamehameha.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is a very strong power to protect him and that. Okay. And
so he says this word.
He says Kamehameha, but I wanted to add Kamehame, but also with... because in Spanish we say ese camarón, ese cabrón.
What does it mean? It's a derogatory term to see that a person that is stupid or what?
No, that persons who are bad, who are
bad,
bad persons, or who do, they do bad things. So
okay, I see.
It's it starts like that with this word from the series.
Yeah.
It's a series for young people. So, and also words from Mexico.
Okay.
And that's how.
How it was. So it's we had so many conversations with your translator, and she created her own language in order to find out this. So when you when you create a new word, and there are so many new words you have created in this book. I mean, one could even write a small dictionary of neologism that you have created.
Yeah.
How does that work? Do you start from the concept or do you start from the sound? How does that work?
I wanted also that the book has this rhythms like a fight.
Rhythm like a fight. Rhythm, punching, like a fight. Punching.
Yeah.
Punching.
The punching and also the las pausas.
Also the the pauses.
The pauses when the fighters are in their esquinas.
In their corners.
In their corners, right. So I was thinking that the rhythm is between the chief, who is another character of the novel, and also Liborio, because they have every conversation that they had so humoristic and also with a lot of words that that when you read you probably won't recognize them, but if you read more
accurately,
you can say that's the significant.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to have that, but the words were it's like a feeling, because when I was reading my own pages,
yes,
I say to me like, no, it has to end like this, or maybe more a longest word, and also I add the adjetivo.
The adjective.
Adjective. Mm-hmm. After the war, who is probably invented that war, because it will facilitate the lecture.
The reading, so yeah, to understand the reading.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yes.
So I don't know. It's a combination of a lot of things because also Liborio isn't in Mexico. No. He is in the United States, and he needs to adopt the language of the United States.
It's a very complex process. Do you understand all the words you're using, or sometimes you think, I just like the sound, I don't know very well what it means, but I just take it?
Yeah, exactly. Even now, I probably forgot the meaning of one or two words because that's a thing that I didn't want it. I wanted that the lecture were fluent.
And so you liked also,
I say to every person who read the book that you don't need to stop in every word because the context say to you the meaning.
Okay.
So
very good.
For example, for me it's red, and for you is blue, but at the final it's a color. Mm-hmm. But your culture and my culture will be van a ser que
they will mix up together. Yeah. Yes.
So we.
Yes.
Yeah. That.
Very good. So I know there is an Italian poet Montale, and he used the name of a flower in one of his poems, and this flower. He was walking with a friend, poet, and this friend said, look, there's the flower you mentioned in the poem. And he said, I didn't know it looked like that, because he just was falling in love with the sound of that flower. Okay. So he used the beauty of the sound, not even knowing how the flower would look like. Yeah. And it's maybe similar to what you do.
I think so, because I put this word chivata. It means for me it was like children, like because we say in Mexico chico, chica, chavo, chava.
Yeah.
So, but then when I realized that when the book came out, someone told me that, but a chivato in Spain is a person who whispers.
Exactly. Who betrays
someone.
Okay.
And I didn't know that. So, and I said, no, no one's betraying no one.
No one, exactly. I mean, the translator into German, she just used chica as a translation, chica. Which is fine because of the sound again.
Yeah, exactly.
So we work a lot with sounds. And one beautiful thing of your book is that you're not just using language and also the possibilities of language with creativity just as a game, because there is also this relationship to what is actually happening to this person. So his linguistic expression is also a form of personal expression.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, it is totally. This is how Liborio is becoming in this champion, but it's not a champion of a box, it's a champion of survivance.
Of survival, yes.
Of survival. Yeah, yeah. And also, everything that you said, it's how he is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he starts to find these people who help him, he realizes that he can have friends or love or roof or something to sleep, a place to sleep, or books, and all that things change him and also change his perspective about life.
Yeah. Can I ask you why you chose the story of a refugee? I suppose that you told that your mother is a teacher, and so you come from probably the middle class, so you're well educated, you know English. It's all the same, you could identify with these people who have nothing, who are desperate, who have to go to the US in order to survive?
Well, I have education and everything in my home, but also I know that really caused to my grandmothers and my grandfathers, because they were poorest, and also my moms and my uncles and aunts, they had a hard life at the beginning, but then my grandma nos levantó a todos.
Your grandmother made it possible for you to get to wealth. Meals. So your grandfathers were rather poor.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. So right now I am not sure if I am middle class or maybe middle
lower class.
Lower class. I think so, because it wasn't so easy at the beginning. It was not easy. I think I consider myself privileged because I have all these things, so I cannot say that I suffer in my childhood, but I get in touch with all the situations, because when my grandma starts her business, he had a lot of workers who were in these situations
of being refugees. Yes.
Well, they wanted to go to the United States, and some of them could go, and other ones could not.
Be able. Okay.
Yeah. So my whole life I were in touch with these workers. So we can talk a lot. We could talk a lot, and also my family is always they were always from the izquierdistas.
They were from the left.
Yeah. So they wanted. They were so humanistic persons that wanted to the government give the. Mm. People what they need. So we spent a lot of time in marchas y social
demonstrations
and,
and
Pacific march, and also I spent my whole childhood in that, so that's why I feel that I can be in touch with these subjects, and I feel myself part of the people who wanted to have another government and no corruption and a lot of things who only a few persons have, but is the a minority who has that.
Yeah.
So I want to become also, if I can do that with a book or with a film, I think that will be. It will be like a granito de arena.
Yes, it will be just a small contribution, which can all the same help to publish a book.
Yeah.
You presented your book yesterday here in Munich, and I was struck by some of your comments. One thing you said was that the most important thing you supposes empathy.
Yes.
So that the readers, through the aesthetic experience of reading a book, identifying probably with characters, with a protagonist, can feel empathy.
Yes.
I've heard that your book is being probably transformed into a film.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is it nowadays, and I'm talking about not just your book, but generally, do you think that people would be closer to the destiny of refugees by watching a movie, or rather by reading a book?
Well, there is a lot of movies and books who talk about the same subject.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right now, in every city, in every country, there is happening the same thing. It's not only in Mexico and United States. it's happening here in Europe, and because migration, everybody of us are migrants.
Yes.
That's what how the book starts, because it's true. We are migrants because we need to move. We are human beings. Okay. We born to move.
To move.
So, but I think there is something happening in Latin America, in Mexico, that the society se están uniendo.
So, are uniting.
Yes, because they are angry and they are hartos.
They are fed up.
Yes.
Fed up with what?
With the situation that they are living, that we are living.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one movie and one book, they can make a little step.
Yes.
They can contribute. It will be a step probably for a few persons or for the whole sala, for the whole, sala. But I think the empathy, and we need to have it in ourselves, because a human who doesn't have empathy is se está deshumanizando.
Yeah, he loses his humanity.
Yes, exactly. And that's that. I think that's the worst that can happen to the human being, because there are a lot of people, political people, and also lawyers and everybody, and doctors, who aren't more human because they knew things, that they accept things, and they, I don't know, I think they think with another mind of don't see the other one, don't see who is behind you, and just looking forward, just looking, I think also a movie and a book is for privileged people, because not everybody can have the time or the money to buy it, to go to the movies, but it's the mind of the privileged people that we have to transform and say to them that, okay, look around, there's a thousand of people who are
who suffer
because you wanted to put macroeconomics building in a place, or I don't know. Well, I hope that if we do this movie, I hope
it can contribute to understand this. I mean, the question was, you are saying, I think, that it is important that people who take decisions, who usually are the upper class, that they are aware of what happens, not only, you know, from the news, but also from this reflection on reality which literature offers.
Yeah.
Different perspectives, of course, it's fiction, it's not reality.
Yeah.
But you, all the same, you think this fiction, both in film and in book, is very important in order to improve the empathy for all the refugees.
Yeah, because fiction can become true, and probably there is no more fiction in our world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we need to look around.
Do you think that with internet and this overload of images, films, and so on, all the same, a film being, you know, shown to much more more people, is that more effective than a book, maybe?
Well, I'm going to speak from Mexico because that's what I know. I think the Mexican peoples, they watch more movies than
reading books. Yes.
Because we are not a readers. We are not readers.
A reader's nation. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I read that the percentage Tish.
The percentage?
The percentage of readers is 1/3 of the book.
I see.
Per person, per year.
Oh my God.
So that's
nothing.
So not
even one book a year.
Exactly. It's that's nothing.
Okay.
And in Mexico, could be that these movies that are in internet, they have more campus to reach
the people. Yes.
To people.
Yeah.
So I think so. I think yes. That's because also a lot of the cinema is very expensive in Mexico, so yes. There's no the cinema is not for everyone in Mexico, so they don't allow the movie.
And so Aura, you have started writing this book and you were 19. Now you are studying. You are studying in order to be a filmmaker. So the first question, or maybe one of the last questions of our conversation, we come back to the beginning, is are you going to be a writer or are you going to be a filmmaker? You don't know, you want to be both.
Yes.
How does that work?
I want to be both. I think a great movie needs excellent script. So. Mm-hmm. Las columnas.
The pillars.
The pillars of a great movie is the script.
Is the script.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So I think they are
related.
Related, of course.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do both, but I don't know what will be happened. I really enjoy to write screenplays. And also, I wanted to start this career in the filming.
Mm-hmm.
In filming, but I can do.
Is it out of passion, or is it because you think also maybe with films your language can reach more people, or is that a consideration or not?
I think both of them. Mm-hmm. I always want to become a filmmaker, but I saw that it was so expensive here and in Mexico and in China. I think in every part of the world. Doing movies is so expensive, so writing is the most cheapest way to do a film because I can have planes and helicopters there, and it's so cheap to do it. But I think both right now. I'm thinking that with the movies is also a good way to start to people have these reflections inside and they wanted to change something in their lives or in their neighborhood or between their kids or their families. I don't know. I think it's a good way because there are a lot of movies who you enter to the...
Mm-hmm.
To the cinema with one perspective, and then when the movie's finished, you realize that
you are a different person.
You are a different, and you start making something different. And well, that happened to me and with some movies. And
which one?
The one I was telling you yesterday, the Tortoise Can Fly.
Oh, this one from the Kurdish director.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Tortoise Can Fly. Very good.
That and also I don't remember the name.
Mm. So this film maybe changed a little bit your life, but tell me how has your book changed your life?
Oh.
Were you happy about what happened, or
I'm
did you
happy.
Feel that it was too much hassle?
I'm very happy. I didn't think that I could salir de mi país.
That I could leave my country.
Yeah, one day or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't think that because everything is so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the money to mm-hmm. do that, to do a travel or to came here to Europe. So when I was 18 or I accept that I never will be to get out of my country. So being here and being in a lot of countries, it's so special. It's such a...
Say it in Spanish.
Es que no me acuerdo.
Haber estado en tantos países
ayuda a crecer.
So you feel transformed by this experience.
Yeah, and because there's a lot of culture that nobody knows until they are in the place
themselves.
Because you can read a lot of internet, you can read the news, and you can know about politics and everything, but you cannot smell how the country smells. How is to be in a tram? How is to be next to the river of Munich? So
how does Germany smell, Aura?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, because I wrote every country that I go. I wrote in my notebook their smells. Their first smells.
How does Germany smell? Be honest.
Yeah, when I because the first thing that I took, I was in the behind, I don't know, in the station of
the tram station, yes.
So it smells like ule. I don't know how to say
it. Yeah, I don't know it myself, but...
Wet. Ule mojado.
O sea,
ule mojado.
Yes, it's damp. It's damp and wet.
Okay. Yes, a lot of wet. But also, I think the coffee from the up, it had this smells too. It was combined, but
that's interesting. That's the first, let's say, olfactory impression.
Yeah,
of
from
Germany.
Munich.
Okay,
yeah,
of Munich. Damp and coffee.
Yeah,
so that's a good thing.
Yeah, so.
And
that's what I want to bring my families and my friends in Mexico, that things that you cannot know by internet or by, I don't know, by,
What about the human relationships
from
the distance? Because, of course, you're an observer.
Yes.
How do you felt that here in Germany or in Switzerland,
where
you live?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I have been here for one day, but in Switzerland, every person that I meet in Switzerland is very nice with me.
Kind.
They are very kind. And also, I think they want to chat a lot.
Mm.
But I don't know why they don't do that. I think
they want to do it with you, but not between themselves.
I have this feeling that they want to express a lot of
emotions
and a lot of things inside them. But when I walk in this and in the camps and los bosques and
in the woods
because I like to read in the woods. I noticed that there are a lot of grown-ups and a lot of grandmothers,
yes.
Yeah. And they sit a mi lado.
At your side?
At my side. And they want to talk about their life. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting. But that's only the grown-ups. Well, and the months that I haven't been here, that happened with the grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that they want to
express
themselves.
Yes.
But
you have the sense of solitude, the people that are that solitary?
Yeah, maybe. I think so. Yeah, I think so. I don't know how much the weather influences this, but I think everybody of us, we will end alone.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That life works, and we know that. But probably that loneliness is more bigger here. I don't know.
It's more pronounced here.
Here.
Yes.
Because I think in Mexico, we are always thinking in other problems.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if you have them here.
Mm.
Maybe you have not in that massive, in that, yes. In the majority population. Yeah. So I think here you can...
you have more time to reflect on our...
About you and how you feel. And in Mexico, you always are thinking about the society.
I see.
And that's a huge difference. And probably the problems from here are different from the Mexico.
Mm.
Here, I think that the problems are more personal.
Mm.
And in Mexico, it's more global. No, more... Mm. General.
Refer to the society,
yeah, exactly.
Yes, to very concrete problems of survival, of how things work, and yes.
And that the time doesn't is not enough to think in our
on
ourselves, because you are always fighting or thinking in another thoughts like conquer and life and. Yeah, where are you going to sleep and everything else? That.
So that's so interesting to see that you bring us your experience from Mexico here, and maybe sometimes we are not able to realize how people really live and what it means to change a country and to have, you know, to be a clandestine person.
Mm.
So your experience is so. Worthy for us. It's so the value is so important, and of course we hope that coming to our countries, to seeing how different people are, will you know, give you interesting insights.
Yes.
One of the great Mexican writers, Octavio Paz, wrote this famous Labyrinth of Solitude, where he said that difference, diversity, means to be alone.
Yeah.
So in this feeling of being alone, everyone, there is such a force to look where the bridges are, where the bridges are to different cultures, to the other one who really sits next to you.
Exactly. Yeah,
and so thank you so much, Aura,
thank you too.
For being here with us. Thank you.
Thank you so
much. Das war es für heute mit dem Podcast Hansa Rauschen. Das waren viele Worte für viele interessante Dinge. Bis zur nächsten Folge und danke fürs Zuhören.